In the following homily, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Tribute to the Providence of God.
On the Feast of St. Ignatius, the most obvious subject for a homily is Ignatius and what he has done for the Church of God. Over the four centuries since his entering eternity, he has become known and is honored in the Church mainly for two things. First, that he founded the Society of Jesus, a name that he insisted had been specially revealed to him by God, and for having first made better experienced and then passed on to by now hundreds of millions of people the spiritual exercises. What he has done through the society that he founded has now been written about in hundreds of volumes. It is, if anything, a tribute to the providence of God, which, from the beginning of Christianity, has seen fit to affect the souls of men through specially chosen individuals. Jesus was one man. Paul was one man. Augustine was one man. Ignatius was one man. But when God chooses one person, and that person cooperates with the designs of Providence in his regard, God works miracles. That's the history of Christianity. Yet I think for our purpose, it will be more useful to reflect briefly on what Ignatius has done, or better, God through him, through the spiritual exercises that he first experienced and then gave to the world. There are many facets to these spiritual exercises, but there are especially three principles that underlie not merely these exercises as a means of giving a retreat or of drawing closer to God, but a means of achieving the highest sanctity. The first of these principles, revealed to Ignatius at Manresa, was the fact that although God wants all to be saved, yet he is selective in the graces that he gives. To some he gives more, to others, and he is master, he gives less. The exercises are meant to be made by those to whom God has given more than ordinary grace. Indeed, Ignatius was at pains to point out only those who have been specially graced by God should make these exercises, because it is through them that God wants to influence others. First, then, the selectivity of God's providence in choosing, well, of course, chosen souls, in order that through them He might affect the rest of mankind. The second fundamental principle of the exercises is the fact that while God gives His grace to all, what God wants to achieve in the souls of men cannot be achieved, as strange as it may sound, only by the grace that He confers. He gives the grace, but they must cooperate. Ignatius is the great teacher of human liberty. God's grace must meet human freedom. Where it does, great things are done. Where it does not, nothing is done. That's why running as a theme through the exercises, which is really running as a theme through the Church's teaching about holiness, is that grace alone will not make us holy. No matter how chosen we may be, we shall become just as holy. What terrifying words these are. We shall become just as holy as we want to be. Of course, God's grace must precede. It must envelop all our actions. But we do the choosing. No less than God chooses us, we must choose Him. And it's our choice of wanting to serve God in the degree that we want to, that will make us saints. That's the second fundamental principle of the exercises. The marvelous, but also the terrifying power hidden in man's freedom. And thirdly, that if, cooperating with God's grace, we are to achieve not ordinary, but great things for God. Ignatius was ambitious. With God and for God. But if we want to do great things for His Divine Majesty, Ignatius' favorite name for God, we cannot do it alone. We must join forces with others like ourselves, so that we might capsulize Ignatius' message to the world as embedded in the exercises that he gave to the Catholic Church. As first, selectivity by God's providence God chooses whom He wills. Human freedom, where God might be said to depend on us to do the thing that He wants through us. And thirdly, community. Like-minded souls working together can achieve what individually they could never do. So that part of the mystery of doing great things for God is the fact that when we work together in Christ and for Christ, we achieve far more than the sum total of our individual contribution. So much for Ignatius' teaching through the exercises, which I will make sure in this retreat you are making. But there is one last thing I should like to leave with you regarding St. Ignatius. Ignatius was not, even in his century sense, a lettered man. He could scarcely read or write. When he obtained his calling from God and decided in his 30s to go back to school, literally to learn to read and write. If there was a belated vocation in the church, it was his. Consequently, he left no master treatises on the spiritual life, no summa of theology, and his Spanish, for those who know it well, say, is poor. Most, therefore, of the insights of Ignatius come from his letters and from his many sayings, which his followers made sure they jotted down and kept a record of and passed on since his death. There are volumes of these maxims. One of the most famous was published by a Hungarian Jesuit under the fine title in Latin, Scintillae Ignatianae, Ignatian Sparks. There are little things, several hundred of them, and because it's my business, I've memorized a lot of them. Let me share a few with you. Few people realize how much God would do through them if only they allowed His providence to work totally through them, and they placed no obstacle to the grace of God. This motto of allowing ourselves to allow to be totally used by God contains profound wisdom. because in the last analysis, this freedom that Ignatius made so much of in our cooperation with the grace of God, what is it mainly? Strange and perhaps prosaic as it may sound, the main job we've got is to keep, pardon the expression, shoveling self out of the way of God in our lives. In large measure, our main responsibility is to allow God to do what He wants in us and through us. And as a consequence, cultivating that profound humility that honestly believes, really believes, that if there is a spark of goodness in me, it is all from God. And everything else, all the mistakes, all the folly, all the sin, all the stupidity is mine. What God does through us, if only we don't stand in the way. Another motto which has helped me over the years is the greatest reward that a servant of Jesus can expect from his labors is the reward that the Master received for his. Suffering and death at the hands of those he loved. It's easy enough to say these words. How hard to live them. Because our heart cries out for appreciation, for gratitude, for recognition, for a word of thanks. And the more we labor in God's vineyard, the more we learn that often those who most need our ministrations are the least appreciative of what we do for them. And that so far from looking for human recompense, we should not expect it. It takes a lifetime to resign ourselves to be rewarded for what we do only by God. And that from men we can expect, well, what men so often do to their greatest benefactors. Turn their backs on those who help them and reject those who love them. Finally, and with this I close this Ignatian homily. Ignatius tells us, fear most when everything seems to be going so well. Because God does His most effective work in souls through suffering and trial. It's no wonder that by now, after some years of teaching and speaking, I have received my share of reactions. All this austerity, all this cross and suffering, can't you give us some encouragement? Frankly, no, I can't. Only God can. But the beauty is that He does. Ah, but provided. This is the divine proviso. Provided we honestly believe that if we want to do good for souls, indeed even wish to save and sanctify ourselves, the way to do it is the way that God became man to teach us. It is the way of the cross. Yet, even as we say that, we know. And I would say we know as well as we have been living up to this principle of the gospel. We know that provided we embrace the cross, Jesus will embrace us. And in that embrace, we have all that we need here below. Because another name for heaven is to possess God, but without carrying His cross. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.